Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by SocialMediaExaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I am super excited about today's show. I'll be joined by Tim Schmoyer, and we're going to explore how to create an online community using YouTube. Yes, you heard that right. How to create a community on YouTube. You're going to love this episode. Also want to remind you, if you want to reach out to me directly, podcast@socialmediaexaminer.com goes right to my inbox. And with that, I've got a brand new discovery that I'd like to share with you.
After untangling a school of anacondas, look what Michael Stelzner found.
All right, what I want to share with you today is really intriguing. Have you ever seen an image on social media and you say to yourself, I swear I've seen that somewhere before? Or have you ever come across an image, maybe someone sent you a blog post and it's got some images in it and they swear that they're the owner of that image, or you got an image on your computer and you can't remember where in the world you found it? Well, this is where Google reverse image search comes in. And yes, you heard that right. Google allows you to actually put an image in and figure out where in the world it came from. It's super easy. You go to images.google.com, images.google.com, and you literally just drag an image right into the search box, and it will go ahead and it will do a search and it will tell you other images that are exactly like that or very similar. And it's really, really cool how it works. I tried it out myself by taking an image off of Social Media Examiner, and you literally hover it right over the top in the browser. It says drop image here. It uploads the file. It thinks for a couple seconds, and then bada boom, just like that, it finds the images. And it finds images that are just like it in different sizes and so on and so forth. And then it shows you page matches that have that particular image on it. It's really slick. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of purpose this could use for you, but I've given you a couple scenarios where I think it could be kind of cool. So try it out. Again, that's images, plural, .google.com, images.google.com.
Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y. All the way across the spectrum. Every month we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say. Quote, I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined, unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com.
With that, let's transition over to today's interview with Tim.
Helping you simplify your social safari, here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Tim Schmoyer. If you don't know who Tim is, he's the author of two books, 30 Days to a Better YouTube Channel and The Secret to Building Your YouTube Audience. His website is videocreators.com. And he helps people there spread their message via video. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about how to create a community, particularly with YouTube. And Tim, let's start with a little bit of your story, because I think you have a really cool story. Like, how in the world did you even get involved with YouTube?
Well, it's a long story, but the short version is that I was bored one evening at home or in my apartment. I was in grad school. It was 2006, and I saw this guy who was doing this social experiment. He had all his videos on YouTube, and I was like, what is this site? Like, this is interesting. YouTube. And I was kind of like, all right, I get it. So I was like, well, I bet I could do something like this. So I uploaded my very first video. It was March 2nd, 2006. And it was just like a quick 30-second video of me sitting in front of my desk talking to an 8mm camera. It was my very first time to ever talk to a camera, and it felt so awkward. I felt like I was having a conversation with a fire hydrant, which is exactly what I said in that video. But that was like, I had no idea what that would lead to. I was just doing an experiment, and I was in grad school, like I said, so my I wanted to share some videos with friends and family. This is pre-Facebook days, and just kind of wanted to show them what I was up to. So my girlfriend and I, at the time, we started just shooting little prank videos of each other. We started making little videos when we go out on dates and things like that, and then we eventually got engaged. We made videos of that. Then we got married. We made videos of that. We moved. We had kids. We kept making videos, and now it's like over 1,000 videos just sharing our story. Now we call them vlogging, but back then,
yeah. So it was like a video journal, really, right? I mean, it sounds like in the beginning it was mostly just a way for you to share,
yeah,
you know, videos with your family and friends, right?
Yeah, and then along the way, other people started watching and were like, what's going on? Like, who are these people? Why are they watching? Oh, well, welcome. Hi, I'm Tim. You know, and just kind of just learning how the whole YouTube system worked ever since then. So
now YouTube 2006, it was pretty new back then, right?
Oh, yeah. Like YouTube launched September 2005.
Wow. So you were very early. I mean, what was it like in the beginning?
Crickets, mostly. There was like nothing going on. There was a few people who were just kind of uploading videos, but there was no like subscription system. There was no way to follow people, get new content, anything. It was just literally a place to host videos, and you had to send all the traffic there yourself. So,
do you remember what it was? Do you remember what it was like when Google acquired YouTube? What was like the sentiment in the community?
Yeah, it was a lot of. Some people were really excited because they knew of all the copyright issues YouTube was going to be facing because of all the content people were uploading. And so they're like, this is the best way to save YouTube. And the rest of the people were like, this is the best way to destroy YouTube, to make it all corporate. So obviously we know that it saved YouTube and made it corporate. Both happened. So they were both right.
Okay. So you start with quirky little fun videos with you and your girlfriend and the woman who would later become your wife. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the way, you made a business out of this. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So it's about 2009-ish, I think. And we were still doing videos. And I was like, you know what? Like, why is this happening and not that? How does that work? And I didn't really know. So I reached out to a few people that I knew were kind of considered industry leaders. At that time, the industry was really small, so it was really, really easy to get in touch with these people. It was Mark Robertson from RealSEO.com and also a guy named Kevin Nalty, who had, at that time, one of the largest channels on YouTube, which is around 250,000 subscribers. And I asked these guys, this is what I'm trying to do. Like, why does this work this way? Why does this not work that way? And they're like, well, I don't know. Like, those are good questions, Tim. We don't have answers for you. And so I said, okay, well, I'll go find the answers and I'll come back to you and tell you what I learned. Like, that'd be awesome. Great. Thank you. So I did that and said, okay, here's how it works. And they said, oh, that's awesome. And just kind of just through doing that a lot, these people then said, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but you should talk to Tim. Like, Tim's been thinking about that. He's been trying to figure that out. And so I ended up just having conversations with other people who are trying to figure out the same type of things I was about YouTube and audience growth and so make a long story short, where I kind of got more into the industry side is I went to Mark Robertson at RealSEO a while later and said, you got this great website. It's all about video, online video, but you don't do anything with online video. And he's like, that's actually a good point. So I took over their YouTube channel, started hosting there, and fast forward a little bit after a few years of that, I started working full-time for an animation studio.
Whoa, hold on a second. What kind of stuff were you doing for RealSEO?
I was hosting, I was training all of their audience about how to master YouTube as a platform for audience development.
And so you started a little show for them basically, and you were the host of it and you were kind of teaching them how to do stuff?
Yeah, I started two shows for them, and then we canceled one of them, you could say, and just stuck with the tip one because that was the one that was doing the best. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, so I started it in kept going.
And then you said something about an animation company?
Yeah, they've hired me full-time then to do audience development for their web series that they wanted to start. And it was started at almost nothing. And after about a year, we had grown it to almost 100,000 subscribers. And each episode was getting, I forget what we got collectively. But it was like millions and millions and millions of views. And we really kind of nailed down the audience development collaboration type of thing with other thought leaders in that series. But after a year, they said, hey, Tim, this has been a great thing that we've done here. We're ready to kind of move on. And so they said, your job would then be ending as well. But they said, we really love what you've been doing, Tim. You're doing an awesome job. And we pay you full time for 6 months to get your own business started and teach other people how to do this.
A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, how I would love that. I know.
It's a really awesome company. I could tell you a lot about them, but they really believe that people are their main assets, not, you know, finances and money. And so they really wanted to invest in the people, which was awesome. Wow. I know a lot of companies say that, but few actually put their money where their mouth is like that.
So they gave you the seed capital you needed to go out and start your own thing.
Yeah. And I said, all right, I got 6 months. I don't know nothing about business. I know a lot about YouTube. So I had 6 months to turn – I started this YouTube channel called Video Creators and launched it in February 2013. And by the end of 6 months, it was my full-time income.
Wow.
So I'm very fortunate. But it was not easy. I still have a lot of growing pains as I kind of learn how to do business now. But
well, tell us a little bit about the channel today.
Yeah, the channel today now, it has three series on it. Whatever the plural that is. It's every Tuesday, I talk about the updates that are happening in the online video news, on the online video industry, and what it means for us as creators. Talk about those implications because the space is changing so rapidly, and keeping up with it, I try to make that easy for people. Wednesdays, just a kind of YouTube tip, idea, suggestion, advice, something like that. And then I do Q&A every Thursday where I just take a question that someone in the audience asked and do my best to answer it to help them and everyone else out with their audiences. And it really revolves around using online video as a platform to change lives. Like, I believe every view, every subscriber represents a person who is giving you an opportunity to speak into their life. And I'm like, what are you doing with that opportunity? Like, that is a huge opportunity to reach people and spread a message that changes lives. And I have so many stories I could share about that. But I just really love seeing that happen when people are doing that with their channels.
Awesome. So when did you launch this new initiative? How long ago did you say it was?
I launched Video Creators in February 2013.
Okay, so here we are, summer of 2015, about a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. Can you share any of the metrics that are public? You know, like what's your average number of viewers, community stuff, just so people can understand what you've been able to build so far?
Yeah, and this is all without spending a dime of promotion. A lot of people, when they grow their channels, they either want to or think they have to spend a lot of money on it. I haven't spent a single penny on promotion. And it's at it's over 75,000 subscribers and 4 million some plus views and just tons of interaction and engagement. I get about 15,000 comments a month on it.
Wow. So, wow, that is awesome. Okay, well, folks, you've just been kind of given the super high level story of Tim and the journey he's been on. Now we're going to get a little into some tactical stuff here. And along the way, we're going to explore some interesting things. So, Tim, I want to zoom in on, clearly you've been doing YouTube stuff for a long time. You've learned through trial and error, right? I mean, you've got a master's degree in the School of Hard Knocks or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean,
right.
You've done it, you've learned, and you've taught. So let's start with, what are some of the more common mistakes that you see a lot of people making when it comes to videos and YouTube?
The biggest mistake I see people making is when it's usually people who are new to YouTube and they come to it thinking like, oh, I've seen a lot of television. I'll just make videos like that and put them on the internet and that should work. And they don't even have another frame of reference for how to craft content, video content, other than what they've seen on television. Because a lot of times these people aren't not like YouTubers necessarily. Like, they don't watch, actively subscribe and watch a lot of YouTube content themselves. So they just end up making the same type of stuff they would make for television and then try to put it on the web and then wonder why it's not working. And there's a lot of reasons why that doesn't work, but I would say that's probably the biggest mistake.
Well, you know, it's funny. We see the same thing in podcasting where people try to sound like something they're not, right? And they wonder why no one wants, why doesn't no one listen? So, you know, let's break it down. Why does that not work? Why does trying to be all like what you see on television not really work on YouTube?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the overall big picture is that people forget that YouTube is primarily a social media platform. And so television is not. So give me a story where this is kind of like the epiphany moment that I had when I really got this. My wife won a YouTube contest on her channel. And the prize was a all expenses trip paid down to Hollywood, down to Universal Studios, to interview Jillian Michaels on her channel. And this is part of like a $100 million initiative YouTube was doing, or giving all these celebrities who are popular on YouTube lots of money to be active on YouTube with new content. And so we show up at Jillian Michaels Studios, big television studio, just like everything's
Are you talking about Biggest Loser, or is this just something she's –
Oh, not that show, but it's her own personal YouTube channel where she was making content for them.
Okay.
So we're in the studio and I'm just watching her do these videos. I'm like, I bet her videos are not doing very well on YouTube. And I never looked it up before, but after that experience, I went and looked, and I was right. She's probably topping out around 2,000, 2,500 views per video. And maybe that's a lot for some people, but this is a woman who attracts 4 million instantly on television.
Right.
So I was like, why can she do that on television but not on YouTube? And what I came to this realization is like when she talks to that camera, she, even though the videos are going on YouTube, she's talking to it like a television camera and not like a YouTube camera. What I mean by that is like if you're talking to television, it's like, hey guys, my name's Tim and I just had an awesome day and you need to know about it coming up right after this, right? As opposed
to- It's all sound bites, right?
Yeah, you know, as opposed to YouTube, it's like, oh, hey guys, how you doing? Oh, it's just so good to hang out with you guys again. Man, Sarah commented yesterday. She said this. Man, that was so encouraging. Thank you, Sarah. But how are you guys doing? I don't want to tell you guys about my day, but tell me how you're doing in the comments below. You know, it's way more interactive and
it's
social.
It's like real life almost, huh?
Yeah, it's just a human connection, you know. And in the online video industries, some people will call it the difference between like a lean in versus a lean back experience. So when you're watching television, you're usually multitasking and you're leaning back into your couch. You usually got your iPad on your lap or you're talking on the phone or whatever, you got the TV in the background. Versus on YouTube, it's called a lean in experience because people are totally immersed and leaning in at their desktops, on their phones or whatever, to watch the content, and they aren't multitasking. They aren't distracted by other content. They're just totally immersed. And when that happens, you have a different expectation for the content that you're watching, especially online for people who expect it to be social. So that was
very cool.
Really big thing.
Very cool. And you know, there's some parallels between what you're saying and also the world of podcasting. Now, the difference is obviously you're likely multitasking when you listen to a podcast, but it doesn't mean you're not fully immersed into it because chances are pretty good you're driving or you're on a treadmill or you're walking the dog. And this is just something to allow your mind to go somewhere else instead of be bored out of your mind. And what's great about podcasting is you can take your time, right? You can go deep and you can do all sorts of cool things that you could never do in radio. Or you could never do on television. So I think what I hear you saying is be a little bit of yourself in this medium, don't try to be what you think everybody wants you to be when it comes to what, because that's what you see on television. Is that what I hear you saying a little bit?
Absolutely. On television, people get paid a lot of money to pretend like someone they're not. We call them actors, right? And social media, if you act and pretend like someone you're not, it immediately discredits you. It's like the exact opposite, right? So the people who are most authentic, those are the people who often do the best, as opposed to the people on YouTube. They don't actually, or on television, sorry. They don't actually, you don't care about them. You just want the monkey to dance and perform for you. And if they stop dancing, you stop watching. But on YouTube, there's often a much deeper human connection.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's talk about how to create a good video. We talked about, I guess, we're kind of already leaning into that a little bit, to use your phraseology. Mm-hmm. But, you know, have you come up with any kind of formula or any kind of guides or, you know, I don't know what to call it, but do you have some suggestions on how to make great videos on YouTube?
Yeah, the structure will fluctuate depending on the target you're going after, the type of content you're making, the value that you're trying to deliver, things like that. But generally speaking, for those people who would be using video maybe for marketing purposes and they're trying to position themselves as an expert or a thought leader or something like that, the general structure that works the best is on YouTube, you got to open your video with a really strong hook. And what I mean by that is you get about 15 seconds to make them want to keep watching the rest of your video, or they're very trigger happy. They will just click away very quickly if you don't.
Give us an example of a hook.
So today, guys, we are going to talk with you about how to grow your YouTube community and give you 5 tips for doing that coming up right after this.
Gotcha.
So 15 seconds. I just pitched, here's the value of the video
that
you're going to get.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, cool.
So if you just open another video saying, hey, my name's Tim Schmoyer and I love making YouTube videos and one of the best things that I like, boom, people are already gone by then. So you really got to quickly pitch it about 15 seconds or so.
Before and then you even say who you are, right?
Yes, yes. Because people care. People, the same thing like with this podcasting and television, people are consumers. Like they ultimately listen for some sort of benefit they hope to get out for themselves. So the quicker you can say you are going to get value out of this, the more likely they are to stick around and want to watch.
Very cool.
So then you can cut after your intro, your hook rather, you can cut to a branded intro. A mistake a lot of brands make and new YouTube creators is that they will make it like super long. And by super long, I mean like 10 seconds.
That's super long, 10 seconds?
Oh yeah, 3 seconds or less.
The reason is, go ahead.
You will have a higher abandonment rate on your videos if it's any longer than 3 seconds. 3 seconds is about the amount of time it would take for someone to get their hand to their mouse and move away. 5 seconds, you'll start seeing an audience retention drop. 10 seconds to 30, absolutely. So 3 seconds, here's what you got to do within those 3 seconds. Is one, you have to pitch the value of your entire channel. So it's not just about that video, but now this is for Video Creators TV, it's Master YouTube, Spread Your Message, and then Video Creators TV is my
okay, so I'm visualizing this is where it might make sense to hire an animator or something to create a cool little quick animation and have the words come up on the screen so that you can get it done super fast, right?
You can do that.
Or you can create a little audio clip and or a little amalgamation of things that conveys very rapidly. Like I've seen other people take little clips from all their videos and kind of create a really super quick montage and maybe put a little voice over the top of it. But the idea there is this is your little time to establish a little credibility or to establish a value prop for the channel, right?
For your brand, basically. Yeah. In my case, it's for my channel, but for your brand, it's like, this is why it's valuable to someone in your target audience, And so that's going to hook
them. So now we're at like 13 seconds, right?
Approximately. Yeah. Yeah, maybe 15, 18. It's not set in, the hook can be 5 seconds, it can be 15 seconds. But
okay.
So after you have your little branded intro, then you can introduce yourself, which I do recommend doing if you're an on-camera personality type video, for example. Because you have to remember that probably the same is true for podcasting, right? Like every episode you do is potentially someone's very first exposure to you. So you don't want to bore your long-term subscribers, but you do need to bring new people up to speed real quick. And one of the best examples that I've seen do this, you guys remember all the old school I'm going to date myself now, I guess, by calling them old school. But the Beverly Hills, their intro song, Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah. My kids still watch that.
Yeah, their intro songs is their story, bringing you up to speed.
Or
really
the Brady
quickly.
Bunch, right? Here's the story.
Right. And now you know all about Jed right before you head into the Beverly Hills, hillbillies.
Yep.
So something like that. So don't use a long intro like that. But hey, guys, my name's Tim, and today we're gonna. And I try to do as many things visually as I can to cut down the amount of time my video takes. So I could talk about myself, but I find it way more, much more efficient to just show visually on screen of the lower third, my name, Twitter, Facebook channel thing, and then I show this little thing.
Tell everybody what lower third means because I know what it means, but not everybody may know.
Lower third. It's just like the little graphic that comes up in the lower third, the bottom third of the screen that shows, you know, little information. So if you're familiar with watching the news, that's where people's names go, usually underneath there.
So you're saying you have that pop up with a little something about you, so you don't even have to waste any time. You can just start your video, right?
I do that a lot of times. I try to not – if there's a way to show it visually and not have to address it verbally, I do that because people – can process much more than just what they're listening to you. And so you give them a visual that complements the audible. Like, but if you're just like basically insulting their intelligence and reading on screen to them exactly what they're reading, you know, like that's not necessary. So so that's how I introduce myself a little bit. So YouTube certified, you know, there I'm certified in audience growth by YouTube and show that little check mark of credibility type of thing. And then I get into the content. That's the next step. You actually deliver the content itself, and that could take people ask me, well, you got to keep your videos a certain length. It has to be 2 minutes long or what's the perfect
talk
length?
About that. Is that true?
No, especially not on YouTube. It's a little different on Facebook video, but on YouTube, it's take as much time as you need to deliver the value that you want to deliver, but don't take a second more, you know? So if you have a 2 minute idea, take 2 minutes to communicate it. Don't take 5 minutes, right? So, or if you have a 5 minute idea, don't try to cram it into a 2 minute video. Like you're doing a disservice both to your viewers and to your video that way and to your content.
How long are your videos typically?
I range usually in the 3 to 5 minute range. My news videos tend to be a bit longer. My tip videos tend to be a little bit shorter.
Do you find there's any correlation between the length of the video and the popularity of the video?
No, my most popular video on that channel right now has like 700,000 views, and it's a 10 minute video.
Good. See, I want everybody to hear this because this is breaking a lot of what a lot of people might in their head think they have to do. Tim's best video is 10 minutes long, right? So in the end, it's not about the length. It's about the quality of the content. Am I right?
Right. The way to think about it, and this is how I think about my business and everything in general, but so hopefully this makes sense to a lot of you guys, is that it's not about trying to optimize your content for robots and hopefully getting them to rank or search or whatever. It's about optimizing your content for people. And when you optimize your content for people, that will almost always work in your favor with robots.
Okay, I want to get to my next question, but before I do, I just want to make sure there's not any final steps in your formula.
Yeah, the final steps, just real quick, is after you deliver your content, give your call to actions, don't do any more than two, and make them very clear, and maybe compliment them with something on screen. And then you can, at the end, just pitch your value prop for your channel, you know, so that someone...
So they become a subscriber. Audience, gotcha.
Yeah, would want to subscribe.
Give us a quick example of a typical call to action that you might include in one of your videos, Tim.
I always include two. The first one is to comment, and that is oriented towards subscribers, people in the community, because I view my videos as like the discussion starter, not as like the product itself, but the main value happens in the comments below. So I get people to comment or interacting about a question. And then the second call to action is to subscribe. And then that's when I tell them why, because every week we blah, blah, blah.
That's really cool. In episode 27, believe it or not, if you go to socialmediaexaminer.com/27, I interviewed Steve Spangler, and he's the guy behind Six Science and a couple other channels. And he told me in that interview, and he's since told me in person as well, that when he does these little quick science videos, and then he always ends with an on-screen question that is kind of displayed over the top. And it says, guess the secret ingredient to this thing or something like that. And he said his comments started going wild when he did that because it made it interactive.
Right.
And, you know, this is a perfect segue into my next question, which is how do you make video on YouTube community-like or said another way, how do you develop a community? And I think we're beginning to kind of tease into this a little bit, like, you know, well, first of all, let's even step back. Why should you have a community on YouTube? Because a lot of people are thinking, well, shouldn't I have my community on a platform that I own?
Oh, that's a good point. That I thought you were going a different direction with that. Yeah. So I don't know that where you have the community makes as much of a difference. Is that to me, the goal isn't where it's at. The goal is, am I reaching and serving people well? So if that's on YouTube, which it is for me, because that's where I can serve people the best, is on YouTube. But I'm not saying like you have to have a community on YouTube. I think the goal is to serve people, and wherever you can do that best is where you should do that.
Okay. Well, talk to me about how you build community on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. There's a couple things that you need to have in place. One is that it works best when your content really establishes a strong human connection with people. And people come to YouTube expecting that more than they would like on television or other places. They want to feel like they have some sort of perceived relationship with the person that they're watching. And often that revolves around not just the what you're about, like what your channel is about. Like my channel is not just about training people to master YouTube, but it's why it matters, which is reaching people with messages that change their lives. And that comes to like a second point, which is that the strongest communities, both online and offline, they form the strongest around shared beliefs, not common interests. And so a lot of people think like, oh, okay, I'll just form a community around YouTube video or around podcasting or around social media or whatever. And that's good, and you can get somewhere with that. But like Mike, if you and I were like talking for the very first time and we realized that, oh, we got social media in common, that's cool. Like we'll have something to talk about for a little bit. But if you and I both like discover that we believe something similar about why this matters to us, you know, and we have this shared belief, now the connection goes so much deeper, right? And the community.
Absolutely. And it's true. And we've had these dialogues before we got on the line. We both share the same faith and we share some of the same friends, right? And all of a sudden feel like there's that connection that's instantly made there, right?
Right. So when you want to build a community online, the same thing is true. And this might sound risky, but the people who stand for something that they believe and they say this is why we do what we do because we believe XYZ. Everyone who believes that with you, and they might not even care about your product, your brand, honestly, but they know what you believe and what you stand for, they will always be more likely to want to become an integral part of a community as opposed to someone who just likes, you know, something that you like.
All right. Well, I want to break this down a little bit. In your particular case, you clearly have a channel focused on training people on YouTube. How are you injecting something beyond that? Is it in a tagline? Is it in the message that you seem to sow through each of your videos? How are you doing that?
I actually say it. I come right out and say at the end of every video, I say, guys, I do all this for you because I really believe that a lot of you guys have messages that need to spread and the world needs to hear. And I'm going to do everything I can to help you spread those messages so that people can hear your message and have their lives be changed as a result. That's what this is all about. And I have that in my channel trailer. Like when you first go to my channel, if you're not subscribed, the first video you'll see there is me talking about that. I talk a lot just in the content of my video. I say, you know, guys, like it's easy to focus on videos being the product here, but videos are not the product. People are the product. Videos are just the tools we use to reach them, right?
So how have people responded to this message on YouTube?
So at first, people are like, that's weird. You know, they're just like, okay, that sounds nice. And I even had one guy, he sent me a private video, actually. It was a few months ago now, but he sent me a private video just saying like, hey, Tim, when I first heard you say, you know, oh, it's about changing people's lives, he thought, it's like, oh man, this guy is slick. Like this must be good for like marketing or this must be good for, you know, whatever. And but he's like, but after watching a few of your videos, I can tell that you really do believe that. And that's really impacted what I believe now about my channel and the people I'm reaching. And in that particular case, when he heard that and felt that, I'm making a long story short for you. And the whole video is on my channel, actually, you can watch it, but I got his permission to post it. But he said he was getting ready to commit suicide. And he felt like he had a lot of issues. He couldn't read well. He has some ADD. But as he was learning from what I was teaching about how to grow on YouTube, his community started growing and he started having to deal more with comments every day, which forced him to learn how to read better. And he started feeling hope again. And he sent me this message video saying, Tim, I just want to thank you for what you're doing because you didn't just change someone's life. Like you saved it. And this
dude, I'm getting goosebumps. And you know what? Yeah. That's what's cool about this. Like,
and all I'm doing is teaching people about YouTube. That's
you're
what I'm
teaching
like,
people about
anybody.
YouTube and you're saving lives at the same time. Like, seriously, man? I mean, like, wow, that's deep stuff.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to let you know that one random person is still alive because of you.
Now, when you shared that story on your channel, what was the outcome of that?
Oh, everyone's like, it just reinforces the belief that I have and about why I do what I do on YouTube and why this matters, why this is valuable. Mm. And everyone's like sharing stories in the comments of that video when I shared it.
That's crazy. I mean, like, this is so not normal, right? I mean, this is so against everything that marketers do.
Well, I'm not a marketer by trade.
No, but I'm telling you, this is good, right? We need to hear this. And what I mean by that is so often marketers and entrepreneurs are believe a lie, and the lie is that you must stay on script. Do you understand what I mean by this? There's boundaries that are set in place by either what you've been told or your boss or whatever, and you got to stay within the boundaries. But when you become real and when you actually care, that's when community happens and that's when magic happens, and that's powerful. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, and here's what happens too that a lot of people don't want, but you actually need this happens. People say, well, as soon as I feel if I stood for something and took a strong stance on something I believe about why I'm doing this, not just what I'm doing, but why it matters, I feel like I would eliminate a lot of people. I'd alienate a lot of people, potential customers even, and we can't afford to take that stand. And here's the thing that those people don't understand is that you actually need adversaries. You need people to stand against you so that your community can grow even stronger and tighter than it could in the first place. Like if you're not standing for anything, you'll just have a lot of mediocre people. You won't really have fans. You won't really have, you know, advocates for your brand. You'll just have people who have heard of you before. But I don't take the time, but there's so many stories I could share with you. Like when you stand for something, you actually need the haters because they will help you, the people in your community, solidify and link arms together, because now they're standing up for something together and you'll have a much stronger community because of it.
Have you had a chance to meet in person any of the people that have been your followers on YouTube?
Oh yeah, lots of times.
And do you feel like do they feel like they know you? Or is there any kind of kinship that happens as a result?
Yes, there totally is. And the reason I hesitate is because like I try not to point the finger at me too much, but yes, absolutely.
Well, I want people listening to understand the consequences positively of doing something like this, you know?
Yeah. Again, I could tell you so many stories. One girl came up to us when I was in Texas and I'd never met her before, seen her before. She recognized us, came up and said, "Hey, I've been following your family on YouTube for a few years now." She's like 19 or something, 20 maybe. She's like, "I just want to let you guys know that ever since I started watching your videos, I've realized that I've raised my standard for the type of guy that I date and will one day marry. And I just want to say thank you for helping me raise that standard." And I'm like,
wow.
Like, I don't know where your standard was before, but good is always a good direction, you know?
That is so cool.
Good direction. Yeah.
That's so cool. And, you know, I hope that people are listening right now are beginning to understand that, you know, something that I'm now just understanding, that YouTube, when used properly, can have a really deep community development.
Oh, yes.
That's beyond what I ever even realized. I mean, that's just amazing.
One of my favorite stories, if you want some more, we can move on to this one, is that I got an email from this mom, or a newlywed. She emailed me saying, "Hey, Tim, I just got married 2 months ago, and my husband and I are already struggling in our marriage. And I watched your video about where you and your wife are talking about how you're learning to love each other better. And she says, I always want to say thank you for making that video. I know it probably wasn't an easy one to make, but I showed it to my husband. We talked about it, and now we have hope again for our marriage. Just want to say thank you."
Wow. You know? Now, just to clarify, do you happen to still have a channel with you and your wife, or is that something?
Yeah, it's still going. Yep. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we post a new video about becoming a family team.
Wow. Okay. So you've got that channel. And then your wife has a channel also that's separate, or is this the same one?
Yeah. Nope. Different channel. She has her own channel where she talks about more personal things. The family channel is more of a storytelling about how we're learning to grow together. Because we got baby number 5 is due in January, and then we will have 5 kids under the age of 6 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I want to ask one more question.
Okay.
Which I think is a question a lot of marketers want answered, which is, what's more important, your blog or your YouTube channel?
I would say depends on your goals. And again, it's not about, maybe it's just me. I guess I'm a little more platform agnostic than people think I am, but I see YouTube, I see blogs, I see podcasts. These are all tools that you can use to reach people with a message that changes their life. So I guess if it happens on a blog or happens on YouTube, I'm not as much concerned about that. I think there's some benefits that a video that a blog doesn't have. But you know, if SEO is your goal, you can sell it 50 times more likely that your video will rank in the first page of results on Google than like a corresponding or equivalent blog post would. So there's some advantages there.
What about combining the two together? I mean, do you do that?
Yeah, you can definitely combine the two together. Do a video sitemap and submit that to Google if you'd like. And there's a lot of different things you do.
Like, I know Amy Schmidtauer, who is a mutual friend of ours,
right? Yeah.
Pretty much promotes her blog with YouTube videos on there. And I think it seems like you really don't worry so much about that. You're more about the channel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One's because my target audience would more naturally gravitate towards a channel than they would a website. Another reason is because your videos won't rank as well that way, just to be honest. if SEO is a concern, because if you send all the traffic to your blog where the video is embedded, you're giving people a different viewing experience for that video. And Google doesn't count watch time on that video equally as it does watch time that's on the actual watch page on YouTube, where they can compare apples to apples that way of how people respond to the video. So I care about search and related videos as part of my discovery tactics. So I drive everyone to the watch page on YouTube.
Very cool. And if anybody wants to hear Amy's take on all this, you can check out her episode. It's episode 136, socialmediaexaminer.com/136. Well, Tim, I know that we've just literally scratched the surface, and I'm excited that you've got all this great video content out there so that folks can go ahead and learn more about how they can develop their own communities on YouTube and do other cool YouTube stuff. So yeah. I want to give you a chance to just tell everybody where they can find you out there on the web.
Yeah. Well, the YouTube channel is youtube.com/videocreators. And that's where I train people 3 times a week with, I think I got like over 500 totally free videos on just training people how to master YouTube. So that could be a good resource.
Say that URL again.
YouTube.com/videocreators.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, that says Twitter is @TimSchmoyer. It's S-C-H-M-O-Y-E-R. I have a book that goes into more detail about a lot of the stuff that we kind of glanced over here. It's free. It's called The Secret to Building Your YouTube Audience, and that's available at videocreators.com.
Awesome. Tim Schmoyer, thank you so much on behalf of all of my listeners for joining us today, sharing your story, and getting a lot of people excited about YouTube.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's interview. I know that I did. It's really exciting to hear all the great stories that Tim shared and the power of YouTube. Are you wondering what are the main benefits that other marketers get from social media? Well, if you are, we've done all the research for you, and it's in our free Social Media Marketing Industry Report. You can download it at socialmediaexaminer.com. Also, if there was anything that we mentioned in today's episode and you just didn't catch it because you're on the road or walking the dog, don't worry, we take all the notes for you. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/152. That stands for episode 152. If you're new to the show and you haven't already hit that subscribe button, don't ever miss a future episode of the show by subscribing. And I hope you catch me next week and the week after that, because I will be with you for quite a long time. Well, this brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.